love and righteousness. Hallelujah. Today I want to make an announcement. We are going to start broadcasting on the Steinbeck station, CHSM. That'll be tonight at 7:30. That's 12:50 on your dial, I guess. Steinbeck station, for those of you who have older people who don't have TVs, you need to let them know that they can listen to my interesting messages. Hallelujah. I want to comment a little bit before I get into this message today on what's going on, these protests that we're seeing. I always wondered how smart the Antichrist will have to be, but I'm beginning to see that a kid could lead them, because this is what's happening. There's no intelligence there. Total chaos. We could all go to church and call it a protest and nobody would say anything. But if you go to church, you are going to be arrested if you call it church. Because when I look at what's happening in the States, all those Democrat states, those Democrat who are run by Democrats, they up till now were arresting pastors of going out and doing church. They were very strict on social distancing. And now all of a sudden, they're telling them, go out, let yourself be heard. Protest, let your voice be heard. This is not something that is God-fearing for all of those who are called themselves pastors, who are marching along with the crowds, and who have been social distancing and were afraid of going to church up till now. That's anarchy. That is what it's called. And we need to understand what that is leading to. And God stopped it for a while. It's going to come. It's called the one world government. The globalists are heading us in that direction. But for the grace of God, we were stopped when Trump came into being president. We would now be a globalist world. But God has his agenda. Yes, the one world government, the great tribulation will come, but it'll be in God's timing. This is what I feel and know in my spirit. And we as Christians should not be afraid. We should not be anxious of what's going to happen. God is in control. We are going to see that straightening out, and we'll see a lot of the hypocrisy being revealed on TV and on social network. We're going to see the hypocrites floating to the top as God boils the water. That's going to happen. We can see that already. So we need to make sure that we know that we belong to Jesus. And for those of us who call ourselves Christians, I want to show you today, I want to teach today on a subject where you can know that you belong to God. I will bring you the words of the Apostle Paul on how he called it. He was very sure of himself. And at the same time, he also said that I'm pressing towards the prize, the mark, the high calling. He's not talking about his salvation there. He's talking about achieving his perfect will of God. So before we get into this message today, we'll ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts to the truth of what's going on. Lord, I pray against all this confusion that is out there, that you'll bring it to a stop, and you will bless the listener today in Jesus' name. Amen. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 1, it tells us, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but unto you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. He's talking about his salvation here, and he's even talking about his abilities. He has no confidence in the flesh. He knows that without Christ he is nothing. But he calls us, he tells us, beware of dogs. These are wolves in sheep's clothing. And I have a feeling people, wolves, will be identified very shortly as time progresses, as the end time things that are prophesied in the Word of God will start to be revealed by God. We will see the wolves being exposed, those who pretend to be godly, those who pretend they know God, they will be exposed on who they are. So it tells us, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, God calls them, and beware of the circumcision. Those were those people in those days who tried to tell the Christians they need to be circumcised to be a Christian. Like many religious organizations say today, you have to do this, you have to do that to be a Christian. It, nothing has changed, only the tactics of Satan have changed a little bit. But the Bible teaches us here, the Apostle Paul telling us, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. So this is the start we have. Last week I had an interesting message on the Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. You have to get on that foundation first. You have to know who you are. And the Apostle Paul is telling us here that we are those people and we have no confidence in the flesh. Now, all of a sudden, the Apostle Paul tells us in the next verse in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4, if you have something to brag about, I could challenge you because I have more to brag about. We have to remember Judaism was started by God at Mount Sinai, given to Moses. He was given the Ten Commandments, the laws of God, and that's how Judaism started. We also know that God told them not to get married to outside people in case they're going to influence them and to worshiping a strange God. So it was very clear that the Jews were supposed to keep themselves clean from other nations, not because God is prejudiced or he sees anything wrong with other nations, beside that they were worshiping other gods and they didn't want them to influence the Jewish people. That's why he said, stay away from them. They all were most of them were worshiping devils. It tells us, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I want you religious people to think of that, to listen to this. You who grew up in religious organizations, you who think you're keeping the law, you're wearing your clothing and you're following the ordinances that are given to you. You have something to brag about. You're going to stand at God's judgment and say, look at me, look at what I did. Here's what Paul said. Look at me, look at what I did. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He qualified because he was in the religion that God started, not men. God started it. I was of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. He was on top of the whole situation concerning zeal, persecuting the church, because he thought the church was bringing in heresy. The church was starting a new religion. The only thing that Paul didn't know was that it was started by God himself. And he thought, these guys are going to destroy us if we don't shut them down. He persecuted the church. Touching righteousness in the law, he said, I was blameless. Now that's a mouthful. How many people can say that even when it comes to your religion, that you're keeping your religious laws? You're blameless? I bet you are. The Apostle Paul, here writing by the Holy Spirit, tells us the righteousness, as far as touching the law was concerned, I was blameless. That's interesting. That's more than I could say as far as I'm concerned when it comes to keeping the law. I know I'm blameless when it comes to touching the law of Christ. There I'm fully persuaded and completely focused. I know that Jesus is my Savior. I know that He's the only one that's going to get me out of darkness into the kingdom of God. I know He's the only one that has salvation. There, I'm perfect. My thinking is clear. It's sharp. I know where I stand. The Apostle Paul was the same thing in the law. He was blameless. Now, I want to show you what the Apostle Paul thought of his upbringing religion. It tells us in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, yet doubtless I count all those things, but for the loss of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, I do count them but dung. Interesting. I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And this is how far the Apostle Paul goes. If your religion doesn't become dung when it comes to your salvation, then you're not really saved, because you're serving two masters. You're serving two masters. You're leaning onto one and holding on to another. It's not going to work. Eventually, you'll be tried and proven. And it says, I count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Hallelujah. He says, I don't have my own righteousness. I can't achieve it in myself. The righteousness that I have is faith in Christ Jesus. Not that I have my own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God. So here is how it works. The righteousness that we receive, it comes from God. It doesn't come from ourselves. We're not capable. If you study the God of the universe, you begin to really understand that we are nothing compared to Him, but He has chosen to love us. He has chosen to create us, to become part with Him. And now we have to follow His advice, His law, to come into the kingdom. And that is through faith in Christ Jesus. It's not by keeping any law. It's by keeping the faith of Christ. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. I saw an interesting thing on YouTube the other day of two young teenagers, 16 years old. They're in from Iran. And we, for those of you who are listening to the persecuted church, knows that there's a big revival going on in Iran. It was started by two teenage girls. How did they start that revival? They went and they got some New Testaments from the Western church by the thousands. So they took two backpacks and they covered all of Iran from north to south, put it into everyone's mailbox. And by the end of 3 years, they had everything covered. And finally, the government, I guess the God kept their eyes shut. Finally, the government put out a decree. There's a big organization, a big Christian organization. We have to stop them. There were only two teenagers. If two teenagers, two girls, which are nothing in the Muslim nations, they're only half human according to their laws. If those two teenagers can turn a whole country around and bring on a revival, what can we do here in the Western world if we would only have the guts to go out and proclaim it? The Bible teaches us we need to be conformable unto his death. That means even if it's unto death, we should not be afraid of preaching this cross of Calvary and preaching the principles of God. So it tells us that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. What happened to those two teenagers? They were thrown into prison and they were terribly treated and they had to suffer a lot for the cross of Christ. But by the grace of God, they were allowed to go free because of the pressure from the church here in the Western world. Thank God for that. We still have power. The power of God is still in us. If we would only understand it and only reach out and use it, God has given it to us. So it tells us here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, I once thought these things were valuable. He's talking about his religion. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. So getting into the kingdom of God, whatever you're trying to do, whatever religion you're trying to hang on to, it's worthless as far as your salvation is concerned. You need to turn to Jesus for that salvation. He alone is able to give it to you. When we study how Christianity works, it amazes me. Never ceases to amaze me. God opens a religious person's eyes and instantly is transformed into something else. The next day he starts operating differently. You see people who are living for the devil. God opens their eyes. They turn to Christ. The next day and even the same day, their lives turn around. We've seen it thousands of times. We hear of those testimonies all over the internet. And still, we wonder if God's power is real. God's power is real. Moses was able, by putting out his staff, to the Red Sea parted, and they walked through on dry land, the Bible teaches us. They walked through the River Jordan. One side went up, the other side drained away. They walked through on dry land. It didn't take 24 hours or a week to dry. It was dry instantly. We can do this if we dare to step out in faith. I'm not telling you to go and try and divide a river. That's foolishness unless you really have to, unless God it is in it. But you can do so much. Those two girls who had this backpack on their backs, they walked for 3 years across Iran to bring the gospel to so many. God was with them. We need to start doing these things, especially as we see the day approaching. Now listen to the Apostle Paul. He understood his weaknesses. He's not talking about his salvation here. Not as though as I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which is I'm also. Also, I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or achieved, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. Last week, we were teaching on the perfect will of God. The Apostle Paul even said, sometimes I wonder myself, whether I'm always in the perfect will of God. God will one day shine the light and he will show me whether I was in his perfect will of God. And here he says, I haven't attained that mark yet, but I'm pressing towards it. I'm pressing towards that prize. I'm going to attain it. There is a day coming. So he tells us in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, even it means putting on a backpack and handing out Bibles. I'm pressing towards the prize. The Bema seat of Christ will reveal if we have pressed towards that prize. The judgment seat of Christ will reveal that. Did we put on those backpacks and did we pass out those Bibles? Did we do the perfect will of God for our lives? If we dare step out, God is going to protect us and move us. He says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. So he calls us perfect. Those of us who are perfect in Christ Jesus, we should be thus minded, always pressing towards that prize, the mark of the high calling of God. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. So here we are, standing in front of God on this earth. He's watching everything with eyes that don't miss a thing. And in Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's behind us. We don't have to worry whether we're good enough for God. That is finished at the cross of Calvary. He made us perfect. It says, by one offering he has perfected for us. Don't try to always improve on your salvation. Forget about that. Jesus made it very clear. We are perfect in him. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So let's forget about these things. Let's press towards the mark, the high calling of God, instead of always trying to improve whether we're good enough for God or not. Oh, sometimes when I listen to people on the internet, or even friends, we're not doing enough for God. We're not. Oh, you'll never do enough for God. That I can assure you. But make sure you know where you stand with this Jesus. You know that you belong to God. Then all of a sudden, that worry will leave, and you'll be able to do what he has called you to do. You don't have to worry about your own mistakes because you're covered by God. Hallelujah. This is it. We are perfected in him. We are sanctified. Now listen to this. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Hallelujah. That's why religion doesn't work. Because they give you laws across the board. You got to do this, you got to do that. But God works it differently. He puts his laws into your hearts and into your minds. One law is for him. One law is for you. We're not all the same. And I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. Homosexuality is wrong, regardless who it is. It's for all. I may not be tempted by that. He doesn't even put a law onto me with it. But somebody else may need that law. It's wrong. It's an abomination. So is drunkenness. So it's are all those things. You may not have a problem with with this thing or that thing, but you may have a problem with another. That's why God puts his laws there. They're for you to follow. But the thing is, don't try to push your laws on anybody else. They don't need them because they're God's chosen. They're God's people. They know what law is in their heart. If they study the Bible, they'll know how far to go. So this is what we need to understand with Christianity. We need to understand we're perfect in Christ Jesus. We have been made pure and holy, and we are the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. That is found in Romans chapter 3. So think of those things. Think of your own self. Look in the mirror. Where do I stand? Am I in the perfect will of God? Am I doing what he's calling me to do? Have I strapped on that backpack? And have I put Bibles in there and walked about and given out Bibles? I'm just giving this as a example. I remember when I was first became a Christian, I walked into this Bible store, and they had these little comic pamphlets. This was your life. What did I do with the 25 cents I received every month? I bought those pamphlets. Maybe I got money somewhere else also. But I bought those pamphlets. This was your life. And I remember walking the streets of Brandon, putting them into those little boxes by their doors. Each and every one. I must have covered half of Brandon by the time I ran out of money or they ran out of tracks. That's interesting. Everybody can do these things. All we have to do is give our heart and our attention to God, and he will use us if we dare to step out. So let the Lord open your heart to this. Christianity should be a joy. I enjoy this life. I enjoy being a Christ one. I know where I'm going. I don't have to worry what's happening now because I know he's in control. The fear that possesses a lot of people doesn't even come close to my door. I'm at peace with God and I'm at peace with my neighbor. Hallelujah. Why? It's because the peace of God that passes all understanding has entered into my heart. So open your heart to these things and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Go and tell the world the party's over. Get your house in order for the coming of the sun. The news is that when the party's over for the world, celebration for the saints has just begun. The old king gave a party, brought the vessels of the Lord. They drank. Yeah.